All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Life Point Church. Thanks again for being with us today. If you are our guest this morning, we want to especially say welcome to you and thanks for joining us today. If you haven't already, take a moment and just fill out that connection card. That would be your gift to us, and you can hand it off to one of our ushers or to whoever brought you today, and they would be glad to get that turned in for you as well. If you are joining us online through our live stream, our Facebook Live, our YouTube Live channel, however you got here, we just want to say welcome to all of you and to everyone who's joining us at our Fort Lewis campus and Fort Sam Houston campus today. We want to say a big welcome to you guys. We're so thankful for you. Fort Sam Houston, they are being hosted today by Young Lefevre, and we're just so thankful for George and Young and the ministry that they have. They've been a part of this church for a very long time. In fact, they helped lead the transition and the search committee that brought me on as pastor, and so we're just so thankful to now be with George and Young again in San Antonio, and thank you for leading there. And everyone who's joining us for our video campus today, our video service here at our Rossview Road location, we say welcome to you guys as well. Hey, next Sunday, I just want to give you the heads up, we are starting a brand new series on spiritual gifts. And I've done this talk about three or four times since I've been pastor here at this church, but so many of you are new, you've never heard us work through this, and we're going to rewrite a lot of the material. But if you want to go ahead and study up ahead, read 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and we're going to spend the next 4 or 5 weeks, all the way through Easter, the final talk of the greatest spiritual gift ever is the resurrection of Jesus. And so we're going to do a spiritual gift series. We're going to look at what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. Are they available for the church today? And then one whole message is going to be dedicated to a biblical view of tongues and speaking in tongues. And so I know a lot of people have questions about that. And some of you are nervous like crazy about it, so don't worry. We'll put you in the nervous section, and then we'll put all the excited people in another section, and we'll give them their time, and then we'll give you your time to judge it and then be rude and critical about it. But all the services will have a box of snakes with me, so that'll be awesome, everybody. Hey, but really, that's something that I want us as a church to have a collective understanding about moving forward. And I do believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available for the church today, but I also think they must be done with decency and in order, and under submission to leadership of the house. And so we thank God for his word is very actually clear about it if we'd slow down and read it. One of the challenges, I'm not even preaching this series yet, but let me just say, I want to be careful that we don't let our experiences become our theology. We're going to let the scripture direct our theology, and then even challenge some of our experience and go, was that, or was that this, or was that pizza, you know? And so all right, but today we're in the final message of our foundation series. How many of you have been blessed through this series so far, anybody? I hope you have. Last Sunday with Pastor Willie George was just amazing. I mean, what a great legendary pastor he is anyway, and so great to have him with us, and he just was really complimentary of what an amazing church Life Point Church is, and so thank you for welcoming him and being such a blessing to him. In this series, we've been talking about what it looks like to lay good foundations, firm foundations, in our lives as Christians, just like no building is strong without foundations. My friend is building a home in the neighborhood that I live in, and yesterday we went down and we just kind of walking through, and it's all the boards are up and the framing is just about done, and I'm walking around asking questions, but I keep asking foundation questions because I'm in this series, and it's just really important to understand the growth and health and breadth of the walk that you want with God is actually going to be more dependent on the foundations that you lay with God. And so the first week was a foundation of a prayer life, and hopefully in the last 3 or 4 weeks you've grown in your prayer life. Then the next week was a foundation on belonging to the church and being a part of the body, and there's no Lone Ranger Christianity. Last week, Pastor Willie, the most challenging thing that I think he asked us last week is we have to be willing to revere and respect the written word of God as if Jesus were standing with us in the flesh. I just think that is so powerful that we would elevate the value of scripture in every part of our lives. And so that was last Sunday. And then today we are finishing our series with a talk about the foundation of God's mission. God has a plan. God has a mission. He's got a purpose in the earth. And here's the thing. That's not a mission that he does alone. It's a mission that he invites us. In fact, he demands us to participate in. And so today we're going to talk about what it means to belong to God's mission. And we look back at Luke 6, and this is kind of a guiding verse for this series. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, 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 and not do what I tell you?" And all these four talks that we've brought for this series are really about the Lordship of Christ and us being a part of what God calls us to. He's called us to prayer. He's called us to belong to his church. He's called us to be people of the word. And now today we're going to see where he's called us to belong to and be a part of the mission of God. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me hears my word. So most people are good with these first two behaviors, right? We like coming to church. We like hearing a good sermon. If Jesus were to show up in America and people got caught wind of it on Instagram, people would drive all over the place to kind of get to him. So I don't think Jesus has a problem with people coming to him or even hearing from him. A lot of people would love to hear what Jesus has to say. But then does them, comes to me, hears what I have to say, and does what I say. Well, that's the challenge, isn't it? He said, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man or a woman, come on now, building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on bedrock, on a stone. And when a flood arose, because they're coming, y'all. Storms are coming in life. If you haven't had one, just hang on. It's just March. He said, when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house but couldn't shake it because the house was well built. So the whole point of this series is that we'd come to Jesus, hear what Christ would have to say for us as a church, and then do what he says, because that's how we build our house on Christ. Amen, everybody? So this series is about building our life on the foundation rocks of prayer. We sang today, I will build my life upon you, Lord. And we're going to sing that again as we close. By the way, I want to encourage you in all of our services, we don't end our service because I end the sermon. We end our service with response to the Lord. We end our service with worship and standing and thanking God. And so I want to challenge you, if you would, please, don't take my cue of, hey, let's all stand as a reason to leave, because, hey, let's stand and respond to the Lord, okay? And so I'm going to start saying that in all of our services for a while, because I've got to retrain us. I think it's my fault. Like, I've kind of closed the book and said, all right, we're done. Let's kind of close it up here. But that's really a time for us to respond to Jesus. We've come, we've heard the word, and now we want to respond and say, God, I'm in. I want to do what you've called me to. Amen, everybody? So we're going to end our day with prayer and worship, building our life on the foundation of the Lord. But this series has been talking about building our life on prayer, the church, the word of God, and now on the mission of God. Did you know that God is at work? Did you know that our Heavenly Father has a heavenly mission, a divine assignment, and you and I get to be a part of that? You and I actually have a job assignment with the Lord himself. The simplest way I like to describe the mission of God, this may be new language to some of you, the Latin is missio Dei. It's the plan of God, the desire of God, the work of God, the mission of God is this. I believe it is God's will that every person on the planet surrender their lives to Jesus. That's the mission of God. It is the will of God that every person on the planet surrender their lives to Jesus. Now, there's debates about whether or not Jesus died for all or Jesus died for some. As I read the Bible, God so loved the world, that's a whole bunch of folk. That's everybody that he gave his life, that whoever would believe in that would have everlasting life. So I believe it's God's will that every person on the planet submit their life to Jesus. Now, here's what I also think. It looks different for you to surrender your life to Christ than it looks for you to surrender your life to Christ, or you to surrender. It looks different for me to surrender some things in my life to Jesus. And though the cost may be different for every person, man, the same thing is true. We are to submit our lives to Christ. That's why people would say, well, do you let those kind of people in your church? Yeah, they just got to pay a different price to the Lord to surrender. Do you let people with that background in your church or those beliefs in your church? Absolutely, because they have to pay a different price. They have to surrender some different things that I don't struggle with or I don't deal with, but I got to surrender some stuff that they don't deal with. But I think it's God's will that every person surrender their whole lives. That means their sex life, their married life, their finance life, their school life, their education life, their belief life, their physical life. Every part of your life, surrender to Jesus. And it looks different based on what you grew up with, your background, your schisms, your factions, your baggage, your drama, all the things that your parents did to you or didn't do for you. It just costs different for every person. But every person's called to the same thing. Surrender your whole life to Jesus. He said it like this in Luke chapter 18, I believe it is. If you're not willing to like die to everything, including your own self, you can't be my disciple. So the mission of God is the desire of God that every person on the planet surrender their lives to Jesus. So that's the part of today's message. You know, before I get involved in any kind of mission or any kind of new story or any kind of new endeavor, I want to know, like, what does it cost of me? What does it require of me? What's God doing? What's he expect? Does it match my values? Can I support what God's about? Am I willing to surrender some things in my life to be about what God's about? And that really is the challenge for us as a church. Like, are we willing to believe this? Like, the God who never changes is always up to something new. Did you know that he's up to something new in Clarksville? Did you know he's up to something new on the 24, Interstate 24 stretch, I believe, from Hopkinsville to exit 24 as it pertains to Life Point? Come on, somebody, that's a little vision drop. No, that was free. You didn't even have to catch it. I think from Hoptown to Pleasant View, God is doing something new, but he's never changed. How has he never changed? Because he's always wanted everyone to submit to him. And how he does it is always new because technology's changed, and we're using the internet right now. We're on live stream. We got more eyeballs watching us on screens than watching us in person. In fact, half of you guys in this room are watching screens right now. The God who never changes is always doing something new. Because his mission has never changed. I want all people to come to me. God's doing it uniquely through us at Life Point. He's also doing it through Madison Street Methodist and Faith Outreach Church. And he's doing it through Grace Community Church and Awaken Church and Hilldale Baptist. And we praise God for Crossroads Church. Our pastor wears blue jeans, and so can you. That's what they say. Look, God is doing something new. But it's because he's never changed. It's because he's always said, I want to see people far from me come to me. So we see God growing his church here, reaching people with the gospel, restoring and healing marriages that are hurting, raising funds for global impact, planting churches in Stockholm from Clarksville, Tennessee. Come on, somebody. Feeding hungry people, blessing the homeless, encouraging folk, healing the sick. God is moving. And I believe we're smack dab in the middle of a special mission of God. And you and I get to be a part of that. So in order to be a part of something, we got to understand something. And here's the thing we got to understand first. God has a mission. Many of you are military folk, and you understand the value of a mission. Mission lays out details. Here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. Here's where we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's what time we're going to do it. Hurry up and wait. We're going to do it later. But you understand the value of well-defined mission, and God's mission is well-defined. As we begin moving forward with our goals as a church, I want to share some vision with you today, some ways that I think God wants to accomplish his mission and vision through this church. Before we get rolling on that, I want us to understand that we're actually participating with what we believe God is doing. It's not just what Mike wants to do or what the staff thinks would be trendy or cool or hip. It's what we believe that God is doing here. We're not responsible for what God's doing in Toledo, Ohio. We can partner with that. We can be a blessing to that. But we're responsible for what God is doing here. And what God is calling us to do as our part of what God is doing here. I love the passage in Scripture. Jesus was 12 years old, and his parents, they'd gone up to the temple on their annual visit, and they had traveled a full day to get back home. And they turn around and they're like, where's Jesus? I wonder if it was Joseph or Mary who discovered it. If it was Joseph, he was probably like, I ain't saying it first. I ain't doing it. I'm just going to keep driving this donkey all the way home, you know. Mary caught it. Where's Jesus? They thought he was back in another van with John and Elizabeth and them and his cousins and them. And they get all the way back and they realize, we left him at church. Can I just encourage you, please don't be that biblical. Don't leave your kids at this church, because we will call child services and they will be found in another location for you waiting. That's a bad joke. It goes really good sometimes, really bad sometimes. They come all the way back to the temple another day. 2 days later now, Jesus has been at the temple the whole time, and they find him sitting with the elders, like talking and preaching and teaching them, 12-year-old kid. And his mama does what any mama would do. She goes, Jesus, boy, get yourself over here. Where you been, son? What is wrong with you? And he says, woman, stop. Please don't 12-year-old kids call your mama by that name. He says, do you not know? Listen to what he said. He knew it at a 12-year-old age. He said, did you not know I'd be about my father's business? I love that from the get-go, Jesus had a heart for what God had a heart for. He had a heart for the mission of God. He had a heart for the things that God cared about. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Remember John 5:19, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing on his own. Think about this. Jesus didn't do anything that he desired to do that wasn't what the Father wanted him to do. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing of his own accord, but only does what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that's what I do. I gotta be honest, that is a hard way to live. I'm pastor of a church, and I don't live like that. There's a lot of things that I do that I'm like, God, you're cool with this, right? I mean, I don't think they're wrong or sinful, But I think they're just things that I like. Jesus said, I don't do anything that's not about what the Father's about. And I got to challenge us. I'm not saying you're going to make it to that standard necessarily. You might in your lifetime, but let's start stepping that direction. Let's start moving in the direction of the will of God, trumping the will of us. I'm not trying to say that we're Jesus. Come on now, you don't have to play that role. But if he was so committed to always being about the Father's business, we need to be about the Father's business and be doing what God would have us to do. Amen? We're not Jesus, but we're to be like Christ. And if Jesus was steadily trying to do what God the Father's doing, then we should be working hard to be about what God is about. And we need to focus on doing what God would have us do. And his mission is the first thing that is always on his mind. God does not go to sleep without thinking about the mission. God doesn't wake up without thinking about the mission. I'm not even sure the theology of his nap routine, okay? I'm just saying, he is constantly thinking about the same thing. God has a mission. He has an objective, and we get to participate as part of the plan of God for the world. Let me give you the backstory. We're going to nerd out for just a moment. God created everything from nothing. The Bible says in the beginning, Elohim, God the creator, the Trinitarian creative God of the universe, created everything. He said, let there be, and there was. Bang. Some of you got that, what I just did there. And then following that were six stages of his creation. The final part of that was the creation of mankind. His favorite part of his creation was the creation of mankind. And he breathed his life into them. And he made us in his image. He made us male and female, made us to be in relationship. And then he gave one simple parameter. He said, you can do whatever you want. You can have whatever you want, eat what you want, go where you want, do what you want. Here's just the one thing I don't want you to do. Don't eat from that one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what they did, right? Like, you don't see them running around doing all the freedom. You see them going, really? That one thing? And the devil exploited that and tempted them with the deception. And that's what the devil does to us too. He goes, does God really care if? Does God really think you can't? I mean, is it really a big deal if you do? Aren't you just being true to yourself? Won't that make you happy? Come on. I mean, God's gracious, right? And so mankind fell into sin. They ate the fruit of the one tree, and then they sinned. Then the Bible tells us in Genesis 2 and 3, the whole record says that they fell into sin, and they go into shame, and they go into hiding. And as it was, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. There's this implication from the writer of Genesis that this was the normal habit. This was the way God designed it, that he made us as the highlight of his creation. And he's like, man, I want to have a daily walk with you guys. I want to come hang with y'all every day. I want to be in relationship and fellowship regularly. And they heard when Jesus comes in. You know the sound when dad comes home, or like the keys jingle at the front door, you know what I'm saying? Or the garage opens up and you're like, oh, snap, somebody's home. They heard the sound of the Lord coming through the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Man, that's what happens when we get in sin, isn't it? Like, we just hide ourselves from the presence of God and among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to them and said, where are you? Now, God knows everything, so clearly he knows where they are. There's no peekaboo hide and seek with the Lord. By the way, hey, listen, whatever you got going on in your life, whatever secrets you're holding, God knows where you are. He sees everything, but I don't think he was asking like, hey, reveal yourselves. I think he's going, why aren't you here? Where are you? You're not here. You should be here. You should be with me, because this is why this whole creation thing started. He's going, where are you? Why aren't you here? And then moving along, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, they expose what happened. We ate. Adam blames his wife. What a coward. You know, he doesn't take ownership. And then she blames the devil. It's this blame game. They didn't own it, and they're naked. And the Lord says, clothe yourselves. And then he has this confrontation with the enemy, the devil. And he says in verse 15, I'm going to put enmity. I'm going to put angst. I'm going to put a fight. I'm going to put a battle between you, devil, and the woman. And between your offspring, which is every bit of sin and discord and drama and tension and pain and loss and the fall, and her offspring, which is Jesus. He said there's going to be a sharp divide between everything you've brought into this world and the Christ whom she will bring into this world. Galatians, Paul actually articulates, he's not talking about the offsprings of this woman. all the sons and daughters that would come later. Paul actually states he's referring to the offspring. It's in singular tense, and he's referring to Jesus right here in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. He says, I'm going to put enmity between you and all that you have to offer and her offspring. And the fight will be between what you think you got going and her son that's coming generations from now, her offspring, which is Jesus. And look what he promises. He shall bruise, what King James I think says, crush your head. Guess what? God said, as soon as we fell, I got a plan and I'm going to win. As soon as we give in to sin, God says, uh-uh. You think you got me, devil? Nah, devil. Can't take my joy, devil, Kirk Franklin. He says, I'm going to crush your head. And I got a plan from the very beginning. And you shall bruise his heel. Here's what he says. Actually, in the book of Revelation, I believe it is, it says, before the foundation of the world, God planned that he would bring Christ to crush the head of the devil. So God's got a mission. There's this plan that we ruined. Our free will, our decision to step out of God's plan. And we have a fall of mankind. God immediately said, I got a mission. And I'm going to crush the head of the devil, and that is through the Son, Jesus Christ. The whole of the Old Testament is then pointing to Jesus. Even the story of Israel is about the perseverance of a people to bring about the Savior, to bring about Messiah. Fast forward to John 3:16. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes, that's an open invitation. Listen, it's an open invitation to one thing, whoever believes in Jesus. It's not whoever believes whatever they want, whoever has their best life now, whoever has their own moral compass to a God figure. No. It's whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. And I believe eternal living starts when you're saved. And then he says in verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it. That's one of my problems with anyone that would say that Jesus didn't die for you, because that's condemnation for you. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through Jesus. This is the mission of God, that people far from God who are trapped in the bondage of sin and despair and brokenness because of the work of the devil, God's plan has always been Jesus will crush that. And so our job as the church is to promote the message of Jesus that says you don't have to live that way anymore. God paid for that for you. You don't have to walk in that garbage anymore. God made a way for you. It was the plan of God from the beginning. After God reaches Zacchaeus, he says it very plainly. I have come to seek and to save people that are lost. Jesus just said it. Here's the greatest mission statement of all time. Jesus, Luke 19:10. I have come, Jesus, the Son of Man has come to seek out. That means he's looking for people who are far from God. Listen, church folks, sometimes we get so turned up thinking we need God to be looking out for us more and more. No. If you're saved, you're found, you got eternal life. God's like, check, moving on to your cousins. Check, moving on to your neighbor. I love you. I bless you. I'm excited about heaven with you. But I'm moving on to lost people. God's heart is to seek out lost folks, to save lost people, the whole world. So we want to be about what Jesus is about, because he said everything I'm about is what the Father's about. And if we're going to be Christians, Christ followers, then we need to be about what Jesus is about, which is about what God's about. And so here's what I say. People who are far from God are still his top priority. You go read Luke 15. He said the heart of God is like a man who bought lost a coin of greatest value in the whole wide world, and he flipped his entire house over until he found that coin. He said the kingdom of God is like a man who owns 100 sheep and one get away, 99 are safe in a pen, and he will leave the safe to go after the missing. That's the heart of God. Luke 15, he says, the kingdom of God, the heart of God is like a father with two sons. One's in the field and one has wandered away. The heart of the father is constantly looking for the one who drifted, constantly looking for the one who left. And as soon as that son makes his way back to the father's house, listen to what the father did. He ran to him. He embraces him. He loves him. He offers grace. He doesn't make him penance. He doesn't make him pay more money or pray more rosaries. He says, you're well. Hey, I don't need your story. You're home. You're alive. Praise God. That's the heart of the father. And so, people who are far from Jesus are still God's top priority. Some of us get so angry and discouraged by God because we've been warfaring against our own desires with God. God, would you please? Would you do for me? Would you do for me? Would you do for me? When's the last time you asked God to do for him and start praying for lost people to get saved? You want to have your prayers answered more? Start praying for what God's praying about. His top priority is still lost people. That means that people who are far from God will always be our top priority, or else we should shut the church down because we've become a club. I believe that with all my heart. Listen, we believe the church does not exist for us. I want you to come and be blessed and be fed and all that kind of stuff. Get you some good coffee. I hope the temperature's pleasant. But let me just tell you something. I'm more interested in these empty seats than the full ones. You know why? Because that means part of our city is still missing from heaven. I want to teach you in such a way that compels you to leave here and be about the mission of God. I love pastoring humans. I'm telling you, I love pastoring you. But I long for the people that aren't here yet. Because the mission of God is still his top priority. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Whatever I'm about is what he's about. In LifePoint, we have to say the same thing. So being a church on mission means we have to commit to that or not. We have to decide, are we going to commit to what God would commit to? If Jesus Christ were alive on the planet, we know he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying about this for us. I think God's greatest desire is that this message would burn in your heart as a foundation stone. That the mission of God is one of the foundations of how we live our lives. That every relationship we'd redeem towards the gospel. That every encounter we have, we would somehow figure out a way to redeem to the gospel. I mean, imagine your generosity is motivated by gospel witness. Your interaction on Wilma Rudolph is motivated by gospel witness. It's my hope that we would be a church that reflects not our wishes, but that we'd be a church that reflects the heart and mission of Jesus. Our mission is God's mission. We don't work for us. We work for him. We don't work for the found. We disciple the found. But part of that discipleship is the mission of God. In fact, Jesus said it like this in Matthew 28. At the end of his ministry, before he leaves this world and goes to the right hand of the Father, it says, he came to the disciples and he said, look at this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Can I just tell you, you don't need to worry about your authority because it's all his. And if you belong to him, you belong to the one with all authority. That is awesome. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, which proves his divinity, by the way. He said, I got all authority in heaven and on earth. Now you go, because of my authority, you go. Now look what he's doing. He's commissioning us from a place of authority. He said, now you go and make disciples of all nations. Does that say some nations, just the European ones or the ones with academics and education? Does he say all nations? What about poor people and rich people? Black people and white people and Asian people and Hispanic people? Everybody that got their DNA ancestry and realized they're none of those things? Ancestry.com got everybody messed up. Man, I thought I was Puerto Rican. I'm from Spain and Africa and 1% Jewish. Shalom. My favorite's them 1% folks that like claim a heritage. Now, I'm 1% Scottish, so I went and bought a kilt and a sword and the unedited version of Braveheart. Freedom! It's like, man. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation. Look what he tells us to do, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's why we baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then look what he says. Teach them also. So not only get them saved, look at this, but now teach them to observe. That doesn't mean to hear. That means to do. Everything I've commanded you. What did Jesus command the disciples? Go win the lost. Give. Pray. Fast. Come on, Matthew 6. Teach Christians now to obey Christ. And part of obeying Christ is these foundations: prayer, church, the word, mission. And behold, look at what he says, I'm with you always. Some of us are nervous about these foundations. We go, I don't know if I can do this on my own. God says, I am with you in this. I'm with you in your prayer life. I'm with you in your Bible life. I'm with you in your missions life. I'm with you in your giving life. I'm with you in your married life. Come on, God says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Built on that great commission, we say at LifePoint, our mission is to lead people. We're here about leading humans, not leading programs. I don't want to be a church that leads programs. We're going to be a church that leads people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Hey, how you doing on your full devotion? Anybody else besides me got room to grow? Come on, liars. Everybody who didn't raise your hands, liar. That's the room to grow. The mission of our church is the mission of Jesus. We want to see lost people saved. We want to see people far from God saved. And we want to see saved people devoted. That means you got room in your devotion. Maybe it's in giving, serving, prayer, Bible reading, how you treat your family, your presence with your family, how you treat folks in public. Man, I don't ever want to be that guy who's really good to church folks and really mean to other folks. I got to think about that as a parent. I want to be as good to my kids as I am to your kids. Like, I can't have your kids run up to me in the lobby and be like, Pastor Mike, hey, buddy. And then my kid's like, get out of here. Go to your room, you big screw up. Anybody else struggle with parenting? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Y'all are real nice to my kids, but your kids got clumps of hair pulled out from you. Wrong. You're wrong for that. It's a real struggle. But listen, we need to grow in our devotion to Jesus. And everything that he's about, we want to be about. So let me say this as lovingly as I know how. Don't you love when I set up like that? Local churches, hear me on this. This is going to rattle some of you that maybe have come from other traditions or other churches where they're kind of stagnated. I just read an article this week. It's like 80-something percent. I can't remember. I sent it to you what the number was. 80-ish percent of churches in America have plateaued or are declining. And the number one indicator of why is they've lost sight of God's mission. That's what they said. Now listen, I believe local churches should absolutely obsess about reaching people far from God. I love pastoring found people. I want to obsess about reaching lost people. Like, I'm so glad to take your emails and your phone calls and like bless you and do all that. I think that's great. That's part of the job of a shepherd is the sheep. But man, my eyes are always looking for the missing sheep. I want to love pastoring you, but I want to obsess about reaching people as a church, introducing them to Jesus, leading people to Christ. We exist to reach the world. We will be a church, hear me on this, that loves and welcomes anyone to be wrecked by Jesus, have their lives change. It may cost them something different. We will always make room for the missing. People say, you got that new building, yeah? Must be nice to have the building. Now you're done, right? And I'm like, nah, man, we need more seats. This 8 o'clock crowd, y'all come because you're smart, because you wanted a little elbow room. 9:30 and 11:15, we can't even get them in the property. It's a 20-minute drive from the interstate to the parking lot. And we got folks turning around in the drive-in because they don't want to wait on the drive, and then we don't have any parking spots, so we're going to start building more spaces. We're going to start doing that to make room for people. We will unapologetically obsess to help lost people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. That's his mission. That's our mission. Our mission and our vision are totally motivated by the mission of God. Let me tell you some of the ways we want to do that soon, and then I got to close here soon. Y'all doing okay? First of all, we want to make room for people to come to know the Lord. And we feel like this location especially has hit a lid because of traffic and parking stuff. So I'm talking to our leadership, and we're trying to get the state to help expand the road. And bless God, I need you to pray for that because I need more lanes. But in the meantime, we've started working with our engineers and architects to start expanding the parking footprint of this property. And we need to double our parking lot. Because one of the traffic flow issues will be, man, if we could just have more spaces to let people come in and go, that'll help. We're looking to launch new microsites. We've got a location we're looking at in Florida. We're looking at a location or two in Texas and Louisiana. How many of you know Fort Polk, Louisiana needs a campus? I'm ready for International Space Station location. I'm talking about Germany, our second highest nation to watch us online. And some of you are watching right now is Afghanistan. Should the Lord make a way, we would love to have a campus, a video campus, and I don't know how it's going to work. And we don't have the money for it or the leader. So I'm just telling you some of the dreams that we have about making room and putting up new sites, putting up new seats, because we're obsessed with making room for people far from God. We're in serious conversations with the leadership at Austin Peay to start a campus on Austin Peay's campus. And we need prayer for that. We're praying about campus and neighboring communities as far as Hopkinsville, potentially, and down to Exit 24. We want to be a multi-site church, not because we think it's trendy or cool or hip. Trust me, it's a lot more work. But it's about opening seats to make a way for people to hear the gospel. We will obsess about people who are far from God. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? Amen. So what does that mean? We have that mission, and we all have a part of it. And this is where I want us to close out today. What are we doing? How are we building? How are we being a part of what God is doing? We're out of room again. We've actually outgrown the building that we just opened 2 years ago. Today is our 2-year anniversary in our new building, by the way. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. And 2 years in, we've outgrown this space. People are coming and don't have a seat every week. People are coming and don't have a parking lot, a parking spot. So I want to give you a quick five-point list statements, and we can start our closing countdown because I'm going to close this out here really quickly. What does God want from us? How do we participate in the mission of God? First of all, grow in your prayer, grow in your scripture study, grow in your church attendance. I'm telling you, these are just key and pivotal. But first thing I want to invite everyone to do here is attend your church regularly. And as an attender, be a bringer. Invite people to come. You know, 80%+ of people that were polled that don't go to church said, I'd go if someone invited me. Some of you say, I don't want to invite people because I don't want to offend them. Get over that. Offend them right into heaven. I mean, what you're saying, I don't want to offend you with the greatest news in the world. I don't want to offend you with the greatest hope that you'll ever have. That's like telling somebody when you got $10 million, I'd give this to you, but I just don't want to offend you and burden you with the tax liability. Are you kidding me? Offend them. Tell them about Jesus and invite people to church. But you let them sit with you. Be an attender. And by the way, Paul in Acts 20:20, he attended big gatherings and small gatherings. He said, I'm going to go temples on the weekends and house to house every day. This is why we believe the greatest part of our church is belonging to a life group. Come on, somebody. Life groups, best thing. And I think every one of you should belong to that. It's your next gathering. If you've not been a part of a life group, you need to do that. Group one is your first step. Get into a group. Second thing we want to ask you to do is to pray big, bold, audacious, bought the farm kind of prayers. Don't insult God with small prayers. And don't insult God with self-focused prayers only. Be a regular person of prayer for your church, for generosity, for increased seating. Pray faithfully. Third is serve with joy. Man, if you're not on the dream team, can I just encourage you to get off your seat and get on your feet? Come on. Stop just taking and start giving. This is one of the easiest ways for you to participate in the mission of God. Did you know every time someone opens a door, you're literally just being a blessing to somebody else when you rock a baby for somebody? Hey, men, fellas, look at me. Guys, listen, guys, you want to make a major kingdom impact? Get into Kid Point and start rocking these kids and teaching these young boys how to be men. Fellas, get in the game. We've got more ladies serving than men, and I think in a church for men, in a town of men, we need to have men leading the way here. Look, I'm not trying to make this a gender debate about what women can do or men can do. They can do it all. Women are doing, they're just outdoing us, guys. And listen, I want you leading in worship. I want men up here singing. I want you singing with us. I want men up here rocking kids and doing things. Stop joining the security team. We got enough gunslingers in this church. We are safe. I need you guys in the kids' rooms. And I need you guys on this worship stage leading us in song. Come on, guys, step it up. Is that too honest? Some of y'all roll up in a dream team like, wah, wah, wah. I'm ready to serve. Yeah, put your gun down and go get a kid. Actually, leave your gun at home or in the car. You left it on the Kid Point counter. Hey, I want to invite you to ask people all the time to get to know Jesus. Ask them all the time to get to know Jesus. Man, everybody's got issues in their lives. Can you redeem those conversations to Christ? Somebody come in having a rough day at work. Don't avoid them. Engage them. Man, what's going on with you? Can I pray with you today? What? Get out of here. Okay, hey, I'll just pray with you at my own desk. But I'm telling you, most people will take prayer, invite them to Jesus, invite them to your church. Be about what God's about. The mission of God is his obsession. And then give generously. Listen, everything God wants to do through LifePoint, he'll pay for it if you and I will just be faithful in tithing and in giving beyond the tithe. This is what it looks like for our family. We settled long ago that 10% is our floor, and it's almost our basement floor. Then we said, Lord, what else do you want? And that's how we approach that. We go, God, what do you want from us? And the Lord has asked us to over double tithing to over 20% of our income. And we just have set it in our budget. It's just the way we live. We don't know any other way. But there's ways for you to give your time, give your skills, give your treasure, money away. But listen, here's one of the things that we try to give to you. These are these random act of kindness cards, something extra to show you God loves you. Man, buy somebody's drink next to you, a coffee, or buy someone's meal or the gas, or just give them a card and say, hey, you know what? I just wanted to bless you. I don't even know you. You look a little sketchy, or you look like you need it, or you look like you got everything in the world, but nobody's blessed you in a long time. Hey, I just want to bless you today. And just know God loves you. God's done great things for me, and God will do great things for you. And hey, I'd love to have you sit with me at church. Come join me. So we've got these cards for you out in the lobby. I'm just so pumped about the mission of God, and I think it needs to consume us as a church more. What if we were that church? What if we were a church that saw missionaries being sent from here, that saw churches being planted on the regular? I'd love to plant a church a year. I'd love to plant a campus a year. I'd love to do all that stuff. But this is not just my dream. It has to be our obsession. So we do it in these areas of attending, prayer, serving, invitation, and generosity. Can we stand together today? Y'all get anything out of this word? Everybody, come on now. It's the last talk in the Foundation series. Man, what a blessing it is to get through this series together. And again, if you just go back and we say we want to build our lives on the right things, we're going to build our life on prayer, our life on the Word of God, build our life on church, membership, belonging, and attendance, and going, and invitation. We're going to build our life on the mission of God. Listen, we're not going to get to heaven one day and God says, man, I really like that boat you bought. I really love those clothes you kept in your closet. Like, I really love how successful you were at your job. God's going to deal with us on matters of kingdom, faith. And I think sometimes we polarize his kingdom and our kingdom too much. We need to be about his kingdom. In every part of our lives, be about God's kingdom. Hey, enjoy your job. Enjoy your house and your boat. But don't let those things own you. Let the mission of God, the kingdom of God, have ownership of you. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? Hey, can we just open our hands to the Lord and let me close us out in a time of prayer? God, we honor and adore you. We worship you. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you for the word of God is true. It's alive. The mission of God is what's central to your heart. Lord, the mission of God will be central to this church. Lord, would you help us hear from heaven? Help us, Lord God, to discern the truth at the inward part of who we are. Lord God, help us to say, Lord, I'm in. I want to be about what you're about. I want to be a part of what you're a part. Let this not just be Pastor Mike's desire, but God, let this be LifePoint Church's obsession. And God, we want to give to it. We want to pray for it. We want to serve it. We want to attend it. God, we want to invite to it. The mission of God should be the mission of LifePoint Church. God, we know that you desire to seek and to save people far from God. That's what we're about too. That's what we're about too. Hey, if anybody would say, Pastor, I'm on that list. I'm far from God. I'm not serving Jesus. Let me tell you something. The most important thing we'll do is right now, you lend an ear and listen. Give your whole life to Jesus. You say, I don't have it figured out. I got too many questions. We all do. Just give your life to Jesus. Say, God, I submit. I believe that you died for my sin, that you rose from the dead so I can have eternal life. And say, I submit my life. At whatever cost, I give you my life and I'm all yours. Can we just pray that as a church? And if you need prayer at the end of our time together, our prayer team is here for you. But come on, if anybody needs to pray that with me, nobody's looking around. Come on, just wave your hand at me so I know I'm praying that with somebody. You need to commit your life or recommit your life to Jesus. Come on, let's pray this together. Say, God, I believe in you. Say, I believe in Jesus, that he died for my sin. And I say, I'm all in. I commit to your mission. I commit to your kingdom. I confess my sin. I ask for forgiveness. And I will live my life for Jesus for the rest of my life. In Christ's name. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate what God is doing. In Jesus' name.